financial markets are performing their own cliff act today, reacting to the political results. But with the election behind us, squarely in front of the global economy now, is the question of whether the U.S. political system can rationalize the spending of the U.S. government before automatic triggers kick in and produce some real draconian impacts on an already fragile recovery. It's called the fiscal cliff, and here to talk about it is William Cohan, former investment banker with J.P. Morgan, now a journalist and author, most recently of Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. So first of all, welcome back to the program, William.
Thank you, John. Always nice to be here.
Secondly, this is right staring us in the face all of a sudden, even though the election result is barely even counted.
Well, of course, it looks like it's been staring us coming out of nowhere, but of course, it's been staring us in the face all year long. You know, one cannot forget the Bowles-Simpson Commission, which, of course, did a meaningful deep dive into the potential risks of the fiscal crisis that we face and made numerous recommendations that basically have all been but ignored in the last year in the face of the election. And of course, now we're faced with this six-week period where we've better get it done or else.
How much of this is just a Washington get our spending priorities figured out kind of question? And how much of this is really an effort by Washington to show the rest of the world that the dollar has value, that T-bills and debt issues have actual value and prevent this from rippling around the world?
John, I think this is a very serious moment fiscally in the United States. I mean, I think one of the good things to come out of the failure to reach the grand bargain compromise earlier this year is, you know, that Washington now has to face up to the fact that there are about to be something like $1.5 trillion of cuts in spending in the areas that most people would prefer that they did not occur in. And it forces, you know, this political behemoth, this battleship that is Washington, to turn around and focus on a very serious fiscal problem that we are facing that nobody has had the political will to face up to. So on the one hand, I think the fiscal cliff provides us with a very rare opportunity to take serious action. On the other hand, if we fail to do something in the next 6 weeks and it takes effect, we're at a risk of a very serious double-dip recession, because something like, you know, 4 percentage points are going to be taken of growth are going to be taken out of GDP in the next few years, and that is going to be a very serious economic situation. So I think, you know, in many ways it's a perfect storm that provides us with a great opportunity to sit down in a spirit of bipartisanship that people were talking about last night, and solve some of these serious economic problems. We cannot continue to borrow our way out of this problem, even though interest rates are at historically low levels, because, you know, very soon our creditors are going to say, you know, no mas.
Isn't, though, the case that a lot of economists believe that there's no way to do this without pain, that maybe the triggers will produce a 4% decline in GDP growth, but there's no way to finesse it without something like that occurring somewhere else, be it raising taxes or just different sets of spending cuts?
Well, I actually think that, you know, you don't have to solve this problem overnight, because there is some truth to the fact that, you know, with interest rates so low, the world is basically saying to us, you know, we believe, you know, as a relative matter, investing in the United States is safer than investing in the sovereign debt of other nations. And so we should, you know, take advantage of that while we can. I think that we will get a huge boost both in the stock market and in the willingness of corporate executives to invest some of the $2 trillion that they have been sitting on in the last few years if we just notionally begin to say to the world we are going to address our fiscal problems. I mean, back in the mid-90s when President Clinton began to and effectively did balance the budget, you know, taking those first steps were very powerful symbolically for the rest of the world and let corporate executives know that we are going to be serious about fiscal responsibility. And I think if we begin to take even a baby step towards that, maybe resolving some of the fiscal issues that we have. Maybe we don't have to, we can dispense with the fiscal cliff by you know, maybe letting some of the Bush tax cuts expire, raising marginal tax rates to the levels they were during the Clinton administration at 39.6, when the economy seemed to soar as a result of that. Maybe taking some of those baby steps will send a very powerful message, and we don't have to also send the economy into a deep recession.
Is the U.S. economy too dependent upon defense industries to be able to make a significant cut in the Pentagon budget without producing some of the same sort of recessionary problems that you talked about earlier?
Well, look, as we all know and remember well, Eisenhower warned of the power of the military-industrial complex. Our military spending dwarfs that of nearly every other nation. I think we can still be a very powerful nation without having to spend such vast sums. Don't forget, we're coming out of a period of two huge wars that depleted our treasury of vast sums of money, trillions of dollars. I think, you know, while building ships and weaponry does create lots of jobs, I think we can also cut back on that. That's an obvious place to reduce spending. It's an obvious place to begin to show fiscal responsibility at the same time that, you know, you raise marginal tax rates. I think that will send that combination will send a very powerful message to the capital markets, to corporate executives, to other world leaders that we are serious about getting our fiscal house in order.
And even in this difficult economy, there is some slack there. So maybe that's a good takeaway to take heart. William Cohan, former investment banker with J.P. Morgan, now a journalist and author, most recently of Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. William, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.